I remember when it wasn't well with my soul. And I'm glad it is now. I tell you, I was on a plane just here recently, and I was flying. I shared this with my wife. I'm just going to step out here a little bit. I got to share this with you. That's why that song touched my heart. And I have to fly around on my job quite a bit. And Brother Michael, that plane took off, and we went for a little while. Then we got up in the clouds, and it looked like a fog round about us. And all of a sudden, that plane just shot through those clouds. And up above those clouds wasn't nothing but clear sky. And the sun bright out shining. And I told him, I said, that man beside me on the plane, I punched him, Michael, and said, this is what it's going to be like when the Lord comes back. Praise His name. We're going to pop out of the cloud like a bunch of popcorn. Praise His name. I'll tell you how to make a Methodist shout tonight. Amen. Praise God. God saved us, and one day He's going to call us home. Praise His name. It's well with my soul. We sit around like a bunch of chickens. We're Christians, friend. Praise His name. He saved me by His blood, and He's calling me home one day. It's well with my soul. Praise His name. Lord, we're going to be done before we get started. Amen. Brother Michael preached all over my message. Sorry, you got steak first. You're getting your beanie weenies now. Amen. If you will, stand and turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll read a couple of verses and you can be seated. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 57. But thanks be to God which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. God of Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you help us. Thank you for the spirit we feel in our heart. And God, and I pray tonight, God, you just filter our words. God, let us say nothing that's out of the will of God. Take us and use us as your transportation device. Fill us up with the Holy Spirit of God. And give us firm backbone, God, do we preach what you'd have us to preach. And God, I pray if there's a lost soul here, Lord, this is the night of salvation. One here that's troubled, let them come and cast their cares on you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I want to preach you a message about what Paul had challenged the church of Corinth. And you young people, I want you to pay special attention, because God's given me this message for you tonight. I'm thankful that you're here tonight. You could be somewhere else, and I'm glad that you're here. My friend, I want to tell you, my friend, that Paul had a challenge to the church. And the church needs challenging today. Today, are you with me? The house of God today needs some challenge, doesn't it? It needs to be challenged because there's work to do. It's not time to run up the old white flag yet. God ain't come back. Friend, we should still be busy about God's work, friend. Still be busy. What are you talking about? Well, you young people, you got a job for the Lord to do. You got a job for Him. Some of you may be saved, and if you are, you're going to enter the battlefield. Brother Michael's done told you about the enemy. We have many of them. But my friend, when you enter the battlefield, as it says in 1 Samuel chapter number 17, talking about David, let me tell you, my friend, you're going to run into some enemies on the battlefield. Now, a lot of these gray-headed people here may have done sought and found those enemies. Some have won, some have lost. Some maybe have run away, some still hanging in there. But let me tell you, friend, I'm going to tell you about some enemies first that you're going to run into. One of the enemies you're going to run into, my friend, in the house of God. What? In the house of God. I said in the house of God. What are you talking about? We're out in the battlefield out here. This world is our battlefield, friend. Let me tell you what you're going to see when you get out on that battlefield. You're going to find some that's in the trenches. Some that are out there fighting. And some that's out there soul winning. Some that's out there praying. Some that's out there witnessing. They're in the trenches, my friend. Just as David saw when he went out on the battlefield. My friend, it says in verse 20 in that chapter, my friend, that he found them in the trenches shouting for battle. Saying, bring her on, boys, we're ready to go. You'll find that, my friend. You'll find that, children, as you enter the battlefield. What else will you see, my friend, in verse 28? You'll find jealousy. Yes, jealousy's in the house of God. Just because you're youth and you may have some vigor about you and want to do something for God, there'll be some older Christians that'll say, you can't do this. You can't do that. But let me tell you, you can do all things with Jesus Christ. You can do all things. What else will you see out there? You're going to see some scared Christians. You're going to see some Christians that's got that big right thumb crammed to the back of their throat, off in the corner somewhere, trembling and shaking and knees knocking. Why? Because the devil has raised his little head up somewhere. Let me tell you, my friend. Let me tell you, young people. Let me tell you, my friend, God is bigger than he. God is bigger than he. What else? Giants. Brother David done told you about the giants. Let me tell you about these giants. There's many of them. Many of them. And you'll face them. But let me just tell you this. What David say to Goliath? That I come to thee in the name of the Lord. You can face any giant when you go in the name of the Lord. Not in the name of yourself. Not the name of your mama, your daddy. Not because grandma or grandpa. But in the name of Jesus Christ. You can face those giants. Yes, you sure can. My friend, don't let them tell you you're too young. I'm 39. I've only been preaching for a year and a half, 2 years. God used old folk, because I'm old to you, ain't I? He used old folks. He used you. He used David. David he used. Just as David was brave and had the faith, I'm going to challenge you to put on that same faith. Be a hero for Christ. A hero for Christ. It only takes one. It only takes one. Now let's get in the message, okay, kids? Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll see in verse 51, Paul shows us a great mystery. In 54, we have victory over death. In 55 and 56, we have a victor's shout. Some's lost it. Some of you have lost it. That's right. Boy, we've lost it, ain't we? Some of us lost our shout. We're victorious. You know, when I tell you what, my son wins something, he ain't quiet, is he, mama? He's happy. You know what? We've already got the victory. You with me? We already got victory, friend. Children, you're going to face a lot of things in your life. But let me tell you, you're victorious through Jesus Christ. You're already promised the victory. But in 57 and 58, we're encouraged to move forward with zeal. And you can do that because you already have victory. You already have victory. So I'm going to encourage you tonight. The same three things that Paul had challenged the church of Corinth during that time. The first thing is be steadfast. Be steadfast. We need some Christians today. Let me tell you, the church of the living God needs some steadfast Christians today, my friend. It don't need Christmas Christians and Easter Christians and Thanksgiving Christians. It needs dedicated prayer warrior Christians, friend. What are you today? It needs faithful Christians in the house of God and to the things of God. That's what the house of God needs. And Paul was challenging them to be steadfast. Well, how can I be steadfast when I've seen I've lost it all? I know I'm a preacher's son. I tell people I went to church 9 months before I was born. I went to every church there was around. Mom and Daddy drug me every one of them. I was wore out with it. But you know what? I've seen times when I thought Mom and Daddy had lost it all. Lost it all because something going on in the church. Something in their life. Seen my daddy get up 3 o'clock in the morning, Brother Michael, and take off to his prayer ground back down in the woods past the barn. Seen him do it in 8-inch snow. I seen him do that. And I know, looking back now, I think he probably thought he'd lost it all. Let me tell you, when you think you've lost it all, be like Job. In Job chapter 23 and verse 11, he said, "My foot hath held his steps. By his way have I kept and not declined." My friend, when you seem you've lost it all, hold! That anchor holds, friend. Hang on! God's soon coming. He's coming with the answer, friend. Just hold on. Hold on. Just hold on. Be like Job, even when people around you, my friend, saying, "Give up! Give up!" There's going to be a lot of them kids. They're going to be a lot through your life. It's going to say, "Just give that up. That stuff's too hard. That stuff's too rough. Just give up on that and get into this world. It's much easier. Just give it up." But I'll tell you, look, the devil and his God-given eyeballs, and you do his job and say you talk as a foolish woman. You tell the devil you're talking nonsense. You just move on. Move on with some zeal, my friend. Move on with some zeal. My friend, be steadfast. What are you talking about? When all give in around you, and they will, there'll be a point in your life when it seems that everyone else has sent the white flag up and they've given up. They've done turned it over and said, "I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm getting away from it. I'm done with it." There's going to be some that's just going to leave you there. And you'll find yourself one day. Am I right? That's right. I know I'm right. I'm telling you right now, there's going to come a time when you're going to stand there and you think, "I'm by myself. Everybody's left me." When you seem that no one's there standing with you. Let me tell you, friend, be like the three Hebrew children and hang in there to the dear end. Why? He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He'd go with us all the way. Hey, are you all out there? Am I telling these children right? That's right. He'd go with us all the way, even to the end of the world. Ain't that good? Let your face know it. Smile at me. That's right. Lord's soon coming, children. Three who build children said, over in Daniel chapter 3 and verse 18, "Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou set up." That's how the world is today. They throw everything out in front of our children, don't they? We allow it to happen, don't we? Yeah, we do. Yeah, we do. Yes, I'm guilty. We all have let it happen. Throw it right up in their face. Oh, I tell you, I pray that the Lord give me a backbone. A strong backbone, more than I've got now, because I don't feel like I got much of one, Brother Sexton. And I want to just stand there and say the same thing them three Hebrew children said in verse 16. "We are not careful in how we answer thee." Oh, wouldn't that be a blessing, Brother Michael, if you could just send and just look the devil and his crowd right in their God-given eyeballs and tell them to the face, "I'm not careful in how I answer thee." You know why you can do that? The Lord. The Lord is with you. You never stand alone. These three who were children didn't stand alone, did they? They threw them in the fire and there they were. But what were they? They were steadfast and they held their ground. Even though it was the end for them, they held the ground. And what happened? God was in there walking the flames with them. God won't leave you alone. He'll be with you, friend. He'll be with you. He'll be with you. Ain't you glad? Don't compromise with the world. Don't compromise. Oh, don't you see a lot of compromise in the world today? Don't you see it? We're all guilty of that, Brother Michael. We're all guilty of that. Don't compromise with this world. We don't belong to this world. It ain't our home. It's not our boss. My friend, I'm in tune to the man that give me breath, put blood blood in my veins wakes me up every morning, puts my feet upon the floor, takes me to the job that he given me. My friend, I'm going to tell you, we belong to God, not this world. You belong to God. Don't compromise. Be steadfast. How can I be steadfast? I'm going to tell you. Flip your Bibles over Colossians chapter 1, verse 23. You need to mark that in your Bible if you haven't. It says, if you continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. How can I be steadfast? Be grounded and settled. And I'm going to tell you something. These two preachers got tons more experience than me. But here's how I feel. If you pray about something, finding the will of God ain't that difficult. That's right. You know what's more difficult? Doing the will of God. Right? I'm going to tell you. Man said, oh, wait, I'll tell you, I just can't find myself. Have you prayed about it? He said, I have. I said, he's probably not answered. And you don't like the answer. I'm in here by myself. Ain't that right? That's right. It's hard. It ain't easy. It's rough. But he's there with us. Rooted and grounded and settled. Today we see Christians flopping around. And kids, you'll see this. You'll see Christians, white-headed Christians, my friend, jumping from church to church like frogs on lily pads. My friend, let me tell you, find the will of God. Find where you need to be and get in there and get busy for God. It starts with you. It starts with you. Be steadfast. Can you be steadfast? You can be steadfast. Well, let me tell you, being steadfast, you're going to find out for the older Christian, they're going to tell you it's hard. And surely it is. Surely it is. We know from the battles that we've had to fight and things we've had to go through. It's hard, isn't it? It's not an easy road. Let me tell you something. You young folk, these older folks sometimes get weary, tired. From the battles, from the trenches. Let me tell you what you can tell them. You tell them Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Go to them and say, I know you're hurting, but finish your course with joy. With joy. With joy. Finish it out with joy. With joy. With joy. How? Why can you tell them that? Because you've heard their testimonies. These children heard your testimonies where the Lord has helped you and got you out of the ditch and put you back on the road. You shared your testimony, ain't you? You shared your testimony, ain't you? And you tell them, based on that testimony, finish your course with joy. Lord's been there.
Yes, sir.
I remember you told in church that God helped you and he was there. Finish it out with joy. You tell them older folk, I remember your testimony. Finish your course with joy. Finish it out. Encourage them. Oh, but what about you all? You got to encourage these young folk. You got to tell them about your testimony, where God's helped you, when God's done things for you, when he showed up, my friend, when the devil and his band was there and God showed up. You got to share it with them. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, you do. What do you do? Well, you tell them Psalms chapter 37, 25. That's what you tell them. I have been young, but now I'm old. Yeah, I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You begged for bread before? No! God supplied every need you ever had, and you share it with them, and then they can encourage you back and say, finish her out, friend. Praise God, that's how you do it. You start that mess and you have revival, friend, let me tell you. You start building one another up. Man, I'm telling you, it starts popping out. And there'll be somebody shout that ain't never done it before. I'm in the woods, ain't I? I'll slow down. was preaching the other day, and I was preaching hard. And I looked over out my window of my truck, and I found myself at a red light. And this man's pulled over beside of me and looked at me. I rolled my window down. I said, "Praise God! I think you about run the red light. Has God done anything for you? Then give Him some praise. Give Him praise. Does your arms work? Throw your arms up there. God, give them to you. Use them. Thank you, God, for what you've done for me." Amen. What else? The second thing, be unmovable. Oh, Paul said, be unmovable. The word unmovable is mentioned two times in the Bible. Here and in Acts chapter 27, verse 41, where a ship ran to ground. When a ship runs to ground, my friend, it's grounded. It's about unmovable, isn't it? My friend, we are to be a ship that's run to ground. When you find where the will of God is, you get in there and you settle in and you get grounded there and be unmovable. Be unmovable. My friend, in verse 58, Paul said unmovable. What's that mean? It means to stay and not move. I challenge this church. I challenge you deacons and your pastor, your Sunday school teachers, your lay members, the one that plays that and the one that plays this and the one that sings up here, to be unmovable. On what? What this sign right here said. I like that. I like that. I really like this. You be unmovable. That it's only the King James Version Bible. Amen. Amen. You be unmovable, children. The devil and his band's going to come along with their little versions of Bibles, and it's just a book. And they're going to come, and they're going to tell you, "But this is easier. I can understand this one. I can't that one." Have you had any trouble understanding your Bible? You know why? Because you pray, and you read, and you study. You ask God to explain it to me. He will. So when the world comes, and they bring their little books to you, tell them, "I don't need that. I'm unmovable. Get away from me. Far away from me." Be unmovable. I challenge you that once saved, always saved is still for today. Don't you let anybody come to you and say, "Well, you were saved back then, but you've lost it. And you got to get it again." Friend, tell them, "Get away from me. I'm unmovable. I'm unmovable." Am I preaching right? Let me tell you something else. Be unmovable to keep carnality out of the house of God. Carnality has no place in the house of God. That is an invited person to the house of God. Did you know that? The devil shows up every service. He's here with us. He's at every service. The devil will show up at every service. He is. Now, that's just bottom line, he is. But let me tell you, carnality don't need to be. That's right. I'm going to really step in the mud hole here. Let me tell you something else, children. Be unmovable on. In Romans chapter number 7, he gives us exactly how it's supposed to be. Hollywood and other things have tried to creep this into our hearts. But my friend, it said a wife was a she and a husband is a, huh? Boy, a husband is a, you are right. Now children, the devil and his crowds got their mess. And they're creeping this mess around our country. And it's coming, friend. And you tell them that's the devil and that's an abomination. Amen! I'll say it myself, that's good preaching, preach it on! That's right, friend! That don't need to be in the house of God. And my friend, that don't need to be in your mind. And it don't need to be in these children's eyeballs, friend. That's of the devil! It's of the devil. Be unmovable. Be unmovable. Be unmovable that Romans chapter 10 is still the way of salvation. Be a mover that John 3:16, that God still gave His Son freely. Amen. He gave Him freely, didn't He? Be unmovable that God can still save sinners. Be unmovable that He can save the drunk. Be unmovable that He can save the whore. Be unmovable that He can save the pill pusher. Be unmovable that He can save the one out in the ditch. Be unmovable that God is still calling man today. The word come is mentioned 600 times in the Bible. You know why? Because God's been calling man since the dawn of time, and He's still calling today. Still calling today. I'm telling you, that's right. He's still calling, ain't He? But what's the third thing? Now I'll finish up. Abounding. We should always abound. Always abound. What do you mean? To go forth, children, to grow. Children, this is where our churches are missing it. We've got a lot of Christians in our churches today. They've not grown. And I'm not talking physically as you grow up. I'm talking spiritually on the inside. Learning more about the Word and growing what God wants from you. Not other people's opinions, but what God says. What God's given you and talking to you about. Other people, you may go to them and they say, I'm not sure about that. Find out for yourself. Dig in that Word while you're young. Hide it in your heart. And grow in Jesus Christ. Grow in the Lord. Grow. Churches today are full of a lot of Christians that still on the milk. They can't handle the meat. I don't know if they've lost their teeth or what, but I'm going to tell you, friend, they can't handle the meat of the Word. That's right. Yeah, we got Christians out there just gumming. That's what we got. They're slapping gums. That's all we got anymore. Let me tell you, friend, we need some Christians that stand up and stand for something. Stand for something. We need some Christians to stand up and pray to God and say, God, do something today that I've never seen done before. Use me today like You've never used me before. We need to pray for that. We need to pray for that. I'm going to tell you, I ran from preaching for 8 years. 8 years. Why? See, my dad do it. Didn't want no part of that. Didn't want no part of it. But he knew how to get me on my knees. And he got me there. And when he did, I said, God, I'll do whatever You have me do. I don't care. Whatever. He didn't bother me with that for about a year. Then all of a sudden, that heavenly phone line rung. And I picked up that phone and God said, I got a job for you. I said, I'm ready. Children, when God wants you to do something, don't put it off. Because children, I think about those 8 years I could have been preaching. I think how many souls I could have reached. You with me? That's what's the most important. It's what we're here for. Abound, to go forth. My friend, keep on keeping on. Don't stop. The race ain't over. The battle ain't over yet. Though victory is assured, you with me? Victory is assured. It ain't over. We still got war on our hands. Keep on keeping on. Kids, I'm telling you, you're going to hit valleys in your life. Just keep on keeping on. You're going to have times when you don't know if you pay the electric bill, but keep on keeping on. There's going to be times when people just leave you alone and run off from you. Keep on keeping on for God. Don't give up. Don't give up. You older folk, you listen to me. Don't you give up. Don't you give up. God's still on the throne. He's still hearing and listening to prayer. He's still sending conviction out. Keep on. Keep on. I wish I had enough wind to keep on with that. Keep on. Just keep on. Don't give up. I challenge you young folks. Keep on. Keep abounding. Grow. your parents or somebody has brought you to church. And those folk has thought enough of you. You listen to me, kids. Those folk have thought enough of you to bring you up the right way in the house of God. Brother Sexton, come and preach you the Word of God. Be thankful that you're already a leg up on most. Because there's a lot of children you go to school with have no idea what this is about. The mamas and daddies are out. They're lost. They're out of church. The children don't know anything about this. They don't know nothing about this good man that God has planted in this church over in these hills to preach you the Word of God. You with me? Let me tell you, older folk, you need to love this man. You need to pray God around this man. Because these are the ones he can reach in this area, in this place. He's still abounding. He's still going forward. He's still preaching the Word of God in the last days. Pray God around him that he may reach more of these. Amen, anyhow. Oh, you are to go home tonight and find your prayer closet and get in there and pray God all over this man. You're going on a trip. You're going to be here tomorrow. You pray that God give him a message like he ain't never had. You pray that God use him like he never has. You pray that wall around him, that Satan can't get to him and tear his life down, and he can stand and with a backbone and preach the Word of God and reach more of these children. That's right. I'm preaching you right. Amen. That is right. I'm preaching you right. I know I am. My daddy's done that. You pray a wall around this man. Pray a wall around him. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, aren't we? I'm closing. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. I'll leave you at this verse. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance, knowledge and all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in his, what did Michael say earlier? Grace also. Where would we be without the grace of God? Amen. Now you older folks, that's the testimony you need to give these children. You tell these children about the grace of God in your life. Where you've messed up. And where you walked off. And where you done what you shouldn't have done. But God called you back. You share that with them. Don't you be ashamed of that. That's their life. Don't you be ashamed of it. You set them kids down and tell them, hey, I did just like that Novar did. But thank be to God. Because of His grace, He brought me back. And I'm here today to tell you, children, that God will use you. God will use you. And you'll travel down roads you never dreamed you'd go. You'll get to do things for God that you never thought you would be able to do. But keep abounding. Keep going. Go forth. Grow. And when somebody says you can't, tell them you can. Tell them you can. If they say how, say, because of the Lord. The Lord told me so. The Lord told me so. Amen. Brother Sexton, you got the message.